Life's greatest thrill is to live my dream. Life's greatest thrill is to live my dream. And the second greatest thrill is to know what my dream is. Because most of the time, we have no idea what our dream is. We think our dream is a relationship. We think our dream is success in business. We think our dream is having a healing. We think our dream is finishing our education and getting our certificates and stuff like that. We think our dream is getting along with someone who we've had a difficult time getting along with. We think our dreams are lots of interesting things, but what really is our dream? Life's greatest thrill is to live my dream. What is my dream? Well, if I'm honest with myself, and that is rarely done, if I'm honest with myself, I will say my greatest dream in life is what I have come here for. I have come here to remember who I am. And the thundering footsteps of Ellen going by are that she had forgotten something. So she had to run back and get it before she took off to go to town. So her greatest dream is to remember all the things and take it with her so she doesn't get in town and be without it. But to remember who we are. Now, who are we? And thank you, floating angel. So we're God. Who are we? If we can say God, that's a nice, you know, blanket word for meaning a lot of things. But be yourself and have fun. But we have come to Earth to see if we can remember who we are. Now, who are we? The word God is a good statement, but who are we? Well, we are divine. We are fantastic. We are remarkable. We are grand. We are magnificent. We are, well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. You know, that doesn't mean anything when you say all that stuff. That merely talks to a physical type of an attitude. That's true. That's true. We do not have the present capacity to know why we are here and what we have come to Earth to experience. But I will give you a couple clues. We did not come to Earth to accomplish anything. We came to Earth to remember something. We did not come to Earth to make the Earth better or worse. We came to Earth to remember who we are and be who we are. If you are, let's just say, a bumblebee, and you came to Earth to remember that you're a bumblebee, then for you to pretend that you're anything else is incorrect. Now, as a bumblebee, are you a honeybee? Are you someone who brings honey into a hive so that humanity can enjoy the honey? Are you a bumblebee so that you can say that I am going against aerodynamic principles and I am flying when I shouldn't fly? Are you a bumblebee for all other interesting reasons, or are you a bumblebee because that is what it is that you've come here to remember? Well, the answer again is no. You did not come here to remember that you're a bumblebee. You came here to remember that you're divine. You came here to remember that you are the allness of the universe. You came here to remember that you are not limited in any one form that you might take, and you can change your forms in any moment that you wish. They call it in a TV show shapeshifters. You can shift your shape at any moment you choose, and you can be a bumblebee, or you can be a human being, or you can be some notable person or some unnotable person. Or you can be anything at all. You can be a stick. You can be a tree. You can be a house. You can be anything. And you say, how can you be these things? Because they're all life. They're all just matter put into certain forms. And the matter is put into form because it is what delights you. But it's not you. What is you is the thought behind it. What you are is the reality behind it. Now, What is that reality behind it? And you don't know. Can you meditate and find out? Sure. Can you listen to your inner self and find out? Sure. Will you understand once you find out? No. Because it's just like when you're in bliss. You don't know you're in bliss. You don't have any idea how wonderful you feel and how wonderful everything is and how fantastic the world is and all that stuff. Because you are it. When you are the pure white light of love and you are at full beam, do you realize what you are doing? Do you realize that you're shining out on your earth, on your world, on your universe, and you are making it what you are? You are making it bright and cheery and shiny just like you are? You know, it's hard to realize that. It's hard to realize that because when you are bliss, you don't know you're bliss. When you are light, you don't know your light. Well, Herb, give us some other illustration that makes a little more sense that we can be, because we don't really understand what it means to be light or to be bliss and so forth. Well, any other statement that I would give you would be limiting, just like light and bliss are limiting. But by light and bliss are limiting from the point of view that they are so fantastic, anything else would be so unfantastic. Like, you are the perfect rose of summer. You know, you are the most beautiful sunset the world has ever seen. See, those are all limiting things. And those are all in the eyes of the beholder. But the pure white light of love goes beyond the eyes of the beholder. It is the allness. Bliss is the allness. It goes beyond it. Now, where are we? Where are we standing in this awareness? How do we know? Life's greatest thrill is to live my dream. Well, my dream is to be aware of who I am. And in that awareness, once I'm aware, I won't be aware that I'm aware. And I will be that, but I will not know that I'm that, so I can't really appreciate that I'm that. So that sort of takes the fun out of it from the human point of view. But what other point of view is there? There's the divine point of view. And that's the point of view that each one of us is looking for. We're looking for this divine point of view where when we find it, all things are added unto us. Do you understand that? All things are added unto us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and all that good stuff, and all things will be added unto you. When you seek first that which you really are, then everything is made known to you, but it's made known to you without having a desire for it, without possessing it, because you are it. If I say to you, hey, you're everything, then I'm that brand new car that you just bought. That's right. And I can use that brand new car anytime I want. That's right. But don't forget, I'm the allness too. And I create myself driving that brand new car. And you know what I do? I create you driving your brand new car, which may look exactly like my brand new car, but it's yours. I create you having your own experiences, which are you, totally you, and has nothing to do with anybody else, except that as you look, you see, that's interesting. Here is a green Cadillac, and here is a green Cadillac. Here is a Cadillac with everything on it. Here's a Cadillac with everything on it. Now, this is the Cadillac I drive, and this is the Cadillac somebody else drives. So, are they the same car? Sure. Yet, are they different cars? Sure. It all depends how we want to look at these things. It is such an intense, you might say, way of looking at life that once we start doing this, we either go crazy or we are in the infinite. And either way, we're crazy. Because when we're in the infinite, the world doesn't understand us. And when we're not in the infinite, when we're crazy, that is when we're just enjoying it as semi-human beings, then the world thinks we're crazy too. Remember in Patch Brown, Patch Adams, and the man who was the head of these big businesses? He was fantastic, brilliant. He knew everything was going on. But he decided to go inside of himself and play a game. He decided to think into the intricacies, the realms of intricate thought, which most people aren't able to comprehend or handle. And so he was just having fun in it. And when he was having fun in it, taking care of his business was no longer an interest to him. He no longer cared. So the company declared him insane because he was not taking care of his business. Now, if he had been thoughtful about this, he would have created about him a cadre of people who took care of the business at his, with his general interest, and then he would just go off and do his thing. Or he could have retired, right? He could have retired, or he could have gone on a long vacation, or he could have done anything. But the thing is, he played this game. And this game was played not because he had to play the game, but the game was played to show in the story how people have brilliance and magnificence that extends beyond what human thought can comprehend. And who understood him? Now, I'm not saying Patch Adams instantly understood him. I am saying that, but Patch Adams began to see through what was going on. He saw him doing what he wanted to do, what delighted him, and because Patch was able to look at him without judgment, the two could become friends, and they could become people who would understand each other. Now, I'm sure the older fellow didn't fully understand what Patch Adams was doing, because Patch Adams was doing something his way. And Patch Adams didn't understand what the other fellow was doing, because he was doing something his way. But they both knew that what they were doing was the most important thing in the universe to them. You follow that? Now, when did Pollyanna lose her ability to be Pollyanna? And now jump with me. When did Patch Adams lose his ability to be, let's say, Patch Adams, the free spirit that he was? When did he lose it?
When he lost
his attitude of the big picture. Mm-hmm. He tied himself down to a woman and became very close to her, and she was a very important person in his life. And when she died, because he didn't see it coming with the fellow who was not very nice, he felt he was at fault, and because he felt he was at fault, he lost his vision of the bigger picture. Pollyanna, when she hurt herself and she wasn't able, and also she hurt others, and people came to her and said, "How could you have done that? How could you have gone out when you shouldn't have? And then now look what you've done, look what you've done," you know. And really, that wasn't the thing to be saying to a kid at the time like that. The thing to be saying to the kid at the time like that is, "You are a little monkey. You get yourself into so many wonderful experiences. My goodness sakes," you know. And the kid was healed instantly. But no, the kid felt sorry for itself, and the Pollyanna spirit, for a moment, was put on hold. And she didn't want to get well, and she wouldn't have. She didn't want to do anything. So, the same with Patch Adams. He was ready to run away from his life dream. He was ready to run away from what he has created to express the divinity within him, just because some incident didn't happen to take place properly in the role that he was playing. And so because of that, if he had quit at that time, he would have been in a very sad shape. But because, unfortunately, he had friends around him who saw the dream with him and who encouraged him to see it himself. At first it didn't work, you remember? Mm-hmm. At first their encouragement was not enough to bring him back. But finally he came back. What brought him back?
The butterfly.
The butterfly and the people that he had helped. The butterfly and the people that he helped. The butterfly represented the girl. You say, "Oh, how romantic and how wonderful," you know. But it represented more than that. Mm-hmm. It represented the idea that he had a dream. And he should not lose sight of his dream. Because to lose sight of his dream means that he loses sight of his purpose in life. So each of us now, let's probe into our thinking, into our mind, into our inner psyche, into our introspective self, and look and see if we can find what our dream is. And if we can't find what our dream is, that's okay too. But just see what you want to do. See where you want to go. See how you want to express yourself. See what is important to you. And whatever is important for you, go for it. If your dream is to go out in the world and do beautiful things in the world, go and do them. If your dream is to go and start a family, or your dream is to go and start a school, or start a church, or start an organization, if your dream is anything, just go do it. But the thing is, remember that if that dream has small feet, it will be a small dream. But if that dream has a broadness to it of being your total self, then that's the miracle that happens for your life. That's the miracle. And there's nothing wrong with any path we want to take, because you cannot count on any counting system. And I know this is not going to make sense to you, but you cannot count on any counting system how many times you have started over on your spiritual path. You just have no idea. Because each time you start on your spiritual path, you treat it like a very casual experience, and you go half-hearted into it, you know, but you don't give it your best. And then you wonder why life is not as thrilling as it could be. But it's just a matter of you deciding what's your dream and then going for it. Was Patch Adams' dream a significant dream for him? And you will quickly say yes, and of course you're wrong. Because you don't know what Patch Adams' dream was. Patch Adams' dream was to be himself and to recognize all the world as a happy, harmonious, funny place, you know? And what was the old man's dream? The old man's dream was to see all the world as a set of figures, a set of mathematics, harmoniously functioning one with the other. That was his dream, and he was coming close to it. And Einstein, you say his dream was the theories that he came up with and all the mathematical formulas he came up with. No, you know what Einstein's dream was? Einstein's dream was to translate his vision, and it was a true vision, his vision of what the universe looks like into words, phrases, pictures, ideas, and into mathematical symbols that mankind can comprehend. And he did a lot of it. He did a lot of it. Because if you see the undulating forms of how substance, how, I don't know, the plane, if you will, it's a good word for it, how the plane or dimension of life is expressing, and how it all works in a mathematical coordinates. And if you would listen to Mozart and hear what was going on in his heart. Now, Mozart, the moment Mozart was a naughty boy the first time, by not doing what his father wanted him to do, his father said, "You are a naughty boy, you are..." But you see, the father didn't stop there, and we know that. The father didn't stop and say, "You are a naughty boy because you did this." The father said, "You are a naughty boy because you're just like your mother. You're always chasing after women, or you're always chasing after sex. And you are a naughty boy because you're just like your sister. You're not really practicing and learning. And then you're a naughty person just like your Uncle Harry, who, you know, shot Aunt Minnie and so forth and so on." You know, and this is what happened. Now, you don't know this. You don't know this. But every episode of Mozart's life that you have read about in Amadeus or whatever, it was all planted there, not unkindly, but just planted there by a normal parent who saw into his child the ugliness of others merely as a way of hitting out at him, beating out at him, you know? And it was not necessarily true. But Mozart was such a pure being, he immediately reflected those things that he was told. And the same thing with Edison. Edison was told that he was an idiot and told that he couldn't do anything. So he went into simple trades. But his natural genius had to come forth. It had to flow out. All of these people who are thought like that, who told them they were idiots? The school says, you don't fit here. That's right, they didn't. Their genius was far beyond anything the school could comprehend or could allow the student to benefit himself with, because there was no teacher that comprehended what the student was doing. It was beyond anything they could conceive of. And this is where each of you are here at the monastery. Each of you are here. You are ready to express a comprehension that you cannot even comprehend right now. You are ready to express a magnificence, a genius, a fabulous awareness that you don't even know what it is, because you can't put words to it. You can't define it. And you think, well, maybe I ought to go and play some more. You know, maybe I ought to go and take up surfing or skydiving or something like that. And some of you have. And the only reason you've taken up these other things is because your heart wants to be daring, your heart wants to be outgoing, your heart wants to be flamboyant into all of the magic that you are. And so, life's greatest thrill is to live my dream. But its even greater thrill is to know what your dream is. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to know what your dream is? Give her a try. Give her a try. I'm not telling you you must dream your dream my way. That'd be a silly thing to say. I'm not telling you you should dream your dream your way. I'm just telling you, dream your dream and find out what its way is and have fun doing it. And if you take sidetracks along the way, don't be unhappy with yourself. You've been doing that for a zillion years anyhow. So the day will come when you're not going to take the sidetracks. The day will come that you're going to go straight for the jugular vein. You're going to go straight for where it counts to accomplish your goal. And the day you do that, you won't even know it. So, ha, ha, ha. You'd like to know it. You'd like to feel good about it. So just feel good about everything you do, no matter what it is. Feel good about everything you do and about who you are and where you're going and what you're doing in life. And don't do anything for anybody else. Do it always for yourself. But really do it for yourself. Don't do it against anyone either. Because if you do it against someone, it's doing it for yourself in a negative way. And it's going to backfire. Okay. Life's greatest thrill is to live my dream. So I say, go live your dream. And I'm right there holding your hand if you want me. I love you.